previously on the Wilson Rush podcast.
But Joe had to be celebrating the 10-year anniversary of screwing up the 03 draft, okay? So 10 years later, 2013, he had to go and get Caldwell Pope. Nothing against you, young man, okay? But at the same time, Trey Burke failed to us. He failed in our lap.
So, another freestyle down, fellas. Another freestyle down.
God bless the USA.
We gotta get a mediator in here. This is crazy. This is crap.
Hey, see, Rush, when he loses, he don't say anything. We just roll into the next question. But every time you lose, you got something to say, man.
No, you're right. You're right. Fine, I don't want to put you in line. What are you broadcasting from, man?
That's not a bad team to start off with. Like you said, you're coaching veterans. You're coaching guys who you know of. The starting lineup, Darren Williams, Joe Johnson, KG, Paul Pierce, Brooke Lopez. That's a formidable starting lineup.
Now, the Nets can do some damage in the playoffs if this happens. If they have a good year during the season and they can rest Paul Pierce and KG, you know, maybe fake some injuries, you know, I think what they have to do is they have to take a page out of the Spurs book this year. Send them home early on flights, you know, rest them up, you know, say, hey, their ankles bother them, they can't play.
DJ Clips, Rap City, let's go.
They say I'm ballin' like
the Wilson Rush Podcast.
They say I'm ballin' like a person.
With your host,
John Shy.
Wilson Rush. Also with T-Lip, Far Wilson.
Yes, sir. Wilson Rush Podcast at it again. Today we got another good one for you today. We're going to talk about would you take a gamble on Andrew Bynum. We got to talk about Brad Stevens joining the Celtics and the Bobcats signing their biggest free agent in franchise history, Al Jefferson, and Dwight Howard impact of going to Houston. But first off, we got to give a shout out to T. Will. He couldn't be here today. It's his anniversary weekend, and he's going skydiving with his wife in the Poconos. But we got a special guest. We got the CEO of the Chris L. Davis Agency in the building. Chris Davis, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing real good. Loving living life.
That's good,
working
man.
Hard.
Tell us a little bit about the agency, man.
Yeah, pretty much I started it about a year ago, unofficially. And the goal or the dream, the mission derived from me not being marketed as a Division II athlete. And I wanted to identify brands in the sports and entertainment industry and help take them to the next level. So that's pretty much it. Identifying brands that are under-marketed and underdeveloped and creating opportunities for those brands.
Right. Sounds good, man. Good luck with the company, man. Really appreciate you coming on.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
We got our usual suspect, C. Rush, in the building. What's going on in the D, C. Rush?
It's a beautiful day here in the D. Still waiting on somebody to sign with us. So I'm, you know, just watching ESPN and Twitter like everybody else here in the D, man.
I know that's all we can do, man. But like I said, let's get right into it. I'll start with you, C. Rush. Andrew Bynum, agent, you know, they said, hey, you know, we'll sign with you, but we're not doing any workouts for you. You think it's good to take a risk on Andrew Bynum?
It's not a good risk. I can't see the positive to come from that. He hasn't played this year. Even during the finals versus the Celtics, he really didn't play as much. He started with knee troubles then. So now you're asking not a guard, you're asking a center who's 7 foot tall, 300 plus pounds, who takes a pounding on his knees every day. You're asking him to come in sight unseen to be basically your franchise player because he's going to want that type of money. So it's not a good investment. You know, would you be wasting $44 million? Yes, but you also could get a good return on that. You know, Dallas has already showed interest. Only like Mark Cuban, he may not care. You know, in lower market teams like Atlanta, Orlando, they may not care. But the perennial teams like L.A., no. Other high-quality teams, Boston, no. You need to prove what you can do. You know, we can't go by what he used to do. You know, Greg Oden, he has to work out. You know, so what makes Andrew Bynum any different? You know, and I heard an interview with him, and they asked him the same question, like, where do you want to be playing at? He said, well, banks open everywhere. So meaning you don't know how this dude is going to come in with the work ethic. So, no, I couldn't see myself wasting high-level money on this guy.
Yeah, I think that wherever they, you know, they have bowling alleys everywhere, so I'm pretty sure he'll have no problem signing somewhere. Chris, how do you feel about this situation? I mean, I know there's not a lot of good post players in the league, so do you take a gamble on Andrew Bynum?
No, I'm going to piggyback off. You said C. Rush, right?
Yeah, C. Rush. That's C. Rush.
I'm going to piggyback off C. Rush. You know, as a track and field athlete, you know, I believe that past performance is a great indication of future behavior. Or performance, and I'm going to say that one more time. Past performance is a great indication of future behavior or performance. So if he's shown that he's been hurt, if he's shown that he wants to have an attitude, and he's talking about banks are open everywhere as if somebody's just supposed to open their wallet to him, I disagree. Especially when you're trying to seek to understand, you're trying to seek to join the organization, yet you don't want to do a tryout. How you going to ask somebody to give you something and you ain't pay for it? That's crazy.
Yeah.
So I would highly disagree.
Yeah.
No, he needs to do a tryout.
Right. No, I agree with that 100%. I mean, in my opinion, you know, signing a player without seeing him is that's like buying a used car without driving it first. It makes it makes absolutely no sense. But Chris, as you work for a sports agency firm, so I mean I gotta ask you, do you think the agent is playing this right, or do you think that he should get him to work out?
He should definitely get him to work out. So it's a twofold street. He could expose himself because he's already shown himself what he could do before he got hurt. That's one thing. So that past performance is good. But the most recent past performance of him not playing last season, him being hurt, is not a good deal. So I would say he does need to work out to show what he has or how he's performing right now at this moment, because that's what really matters. So I would definitely get him to do a workout. And if he feels uncomfortable, he can do a private workout. And I would say in the contract that we do this private workout that nothing can be disclosed about the workout or how it went.
Right. Now see, Rush, he hasn't played all year. So see, Rush, what do you think they're hiding? Why doesn't he want to do a workout? What are they hiding? He hasn't played all year.
Well, it may be more damage to his knees than x-rays can show, you know, because you got guys in the league like DeJuan Blair. He doesn't have ACLs, but he still plays. You know, maybe Andrew Bynum cannot move like he used to be able to do. You know, it's like I said, the wear and tear for a center, the longevity that they have, is very rare you're going to get the 10, 12, 15 years out of them, you know. And it could be fear of he doesn't have it. He may not want to show it, you know. And it could be a pride thing. Like I don't gotta prove anybody anything. I'm Andrew Bynum. Yeah, that may be the case, but you know, just because you're Andrew Bynum, what makes me want to go spend max money on you when I can go get a guy from a foreign country to do the same production, but it's going to take the mid level exception, you know? So it's a factor of pride. He doesn't want to show what he has become, you know. At the age of 25, it's understandable. You know, it's like, well, guys, look at me, look who I am, look what I've done. But it's a business at the end of the day. You don't want to perform, I'm not going to pay you. So NBA teams have a right to say, hey, you're not going to do this, I'm not going to give you this. So
yeah, I mean, I think we can all agree that we wouldn't take a gamble on them, but post players are hard to find, and somebody's going to sign this guy sooner or later. But I think Chris brings up a good point that put a clause in the contract to say you can't disclose anything about this workout. Well, all right, let's talk about Brad Stevens here a little bit. Let's move forward. you know, he took over. He was at Butler. He did a great job at Butler. Made it to the title game 2 years in a row. He's never won less than 20 games a season. And all of a sudden, he's the Celtics coach. Chris, we'll go to you on this one. You think this is a good move for Brad Stevens?
I think anytime you have an opportunity for growth and transition in a career, I think I would capitalize on it. But I would first consider where I want to go in my career. So I think that my decision would be heavily based upon, if I was him, where I want to go long term.
Right, right. See, Rush, what'd you think about it? I mean, 6 years, $22 million, not a bad deal, and it's low expectations. What you think about that, C. Rush?
It's not a bad deal, you know. The track record with Boston is they treat their employees very well, you know, and they're basically giving him the keys to the car and say, hey, this is your car. We invested 6 years into you, you know, whether or not you go all six. That's a good thing. You know, you got the monetary money value in there. You know, that's more than what he got paid at Butler. And you know what? What's the worst that could happen? He fails there. He could still get basically any coaching job in Division I basketball because of what he's done. So it's a win-win for him. You know, it could – Danny Ainge said that he's been to the two national championship games that Brad Stevens coached in. So he has some kind of relationship with him. So I'm just excited to see what happens there.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think this is a great move. I mean, even if he's fired, he gets paid. If he stays, he gets paid. And if he's fired, he gets an even better D1 job. This is a win-win situation. But, Chris, I want to ask you this. Why do you think he got this great lucrative deal from the Celtics? If they're trading all their pieces and the expectations are low, why did he still get this great contract?
Because anytime an organization seeks an individual to come in, they want to remold, they want to rebrand, rebuild the organization. That's why I believe he personally got a great deal that he has on the table.
Yeah, I mean, 6 years, $22 million. I don't know what he was making at Butler, C. Rush, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't that much. But talk about his transition, though, C. Rush. I mean, no offense. He coached in the Horizon League. Yes, they were on the national scene. They moved conferences. They were going to play in the Big East this year. But most of the damage was done in the Horizon League. Now he's in the NBA. I mean, there's not a lot of Horizon League players in the NBA. You know, he didn't even recruit at Butler. He didn't get the best players in America, the top 10 players. Now he's coaching the best players in the world. Talk about that transition.
That's to me, that's going to be the toughest transition for him. He's used to dealing with mid-level athletes at a mid-level university, you know. So when you come in and you have a Rajon Rondo who's not afraid of Doc Rivers, so why would he be afraid of you? You know, you have a couple. When Jeff Green is a veteran on your team, you know, that's a very young team that you have. So it's going to be more so commanding the locker room. I believe he can do that, but he's going to have to get his point across in different ways. You know, these aren't your average players. Like, just to be honest, a lot of Division I high athlete players come in feeling entitled. They feel like they're entitled to everything they're supposed to get. Now, you're dealing with professional athletes and professional men. You know, it's a difference from going into somebody's living room saying, I'm going to take care of your boy for 4 years, make sure he has a college degree. Now you're dealing with grown men who have other issues going on off the court. So it's going to be, that's the only transition I believe is going to be difficult for him, is that transition from coaching boys to men.
Well, I mean, there has been a lot of, Chris, I'll go back to you on this. There's been a lot of college coaches that have tried this jump to the NBA and they just haven't been successful. So why do you think that the Boston Celtics think that this could work out for them all of a sudden?
I think because of his track record, and his ability to be able to mold okay or good players and the great players, is for him to get such an opportunity to be able to transition in such a way. And I don't believe that they would fathoming giving him an opportunity if they didn't think he could deal with the opportunity to build this franchise.
Yeah, Boston is obviously, they've won a lot of championships. They're up there at the top of the league in that. So, I mean, I don't know if Brad Stevens is going to bring them a championship. I don't know if they just hired him to tank the next couple seasons to get this roster back at domination. So I'm not sure where they're moving with this, but I think we all have to stay tuned and see there. Well, all right, we're at the halfway point. So we're going to jump into our thumbs up, thumbs down freestyle round here. And I'm going to throw it to we'll start with you on this one, C-Rush. Manu Ginobili, he didn't have a really good playoffs. He didn't have a good game six or game seven. But the Spurs signed him back to a two-year deal. Thumbs up if you like that deal, or thumbs down if you think he should have retired.
Thumbs up. You know, they drafted a lot of young talent. They have a lot of young talent. And I believe that even though he may not be playing at the high level that what he used to play with, he can help build those players up. He can show them, as corny as it sounds, he can show them how to be champions, like the Kawhi Leonards, the Gary Neals, you know, because they're taking over his spot. That's understandable, but you always need a veteran on your team. Especially if they're talking about bringing Tim Duncan back to make that one more push, why not bring him back?
Yeah, see, Rush says thumbs up. He likes the signing. Let's go to you, Chris, the CEO. What you think, thumbs up or thumbs down?
I guess I have to go with the thumbs down. I would say new blood is always better blood. I bring someone new in to help mold and shape the team and grow it a little bit more. True experience trumps new skill, but new skill can change the dynamics of the team.
That sounded real good, Chris. I gotta be honest, that sounded real good, but I gotta go thumbs up on this one. They got Leonard, they got Green, and I think he can help mold these guys and give them that championship experience. I think the problem comes in when players get older in the NBA is that people expect them to play the same. He plays on his national team every year. He's almost 40 years old. Stop expecting double-doubles from Ginobili. Let him be the leader that he is. So I got to go thumbs up as well. So we'll start with you on this one, CEO. There is a video of Chad Johnson running 24 miles per hour on a treadmill. Thumbs up if you think that's impressive, and thumbs down if you don't.
Thumbs. Chad hasn't been doing much. I would say thumbs down for what?
So you going thumbs down? You don't think that's impressive?
No.
Okay.
I ran track professionally. My question is why? I mean, I understand from the perspective of individuals who are, oh wow, this is phenomenal. Well, Usain Bolt runs 30 miles an hour for 1 second out of 100 meters, and he runs 9.58 and break the world record. Running 24 miles an hour on a treadmill. Who cares? Why? What you doing it for? You don't have a contract. Work on your brand.
See, Rush, the CEO goes thumbs down. He wasn't impressed. Would that impress you seeing that video, somebody running 24 miles per hour?
Thumbs up. I mean, I can't do it right now. So if he's running it for an extended period of time, it shows stamina. And who's to say he's not trying to get back in shape for the season? You know, you're running 24 miles an hour on the treadmill for a minute straight. That's impressive to me. So I'm gonna go thumbs up.
I gotta agree with the CEO on this one, man. Go out, run some routes, man. Do something else to get you a contract. I think that if it was to run on a treadmill 24 miles per hour to make it in the NFL, I think more people would be doing it. I mean, it's nice to be in shape, but let's do some football. Let's do some football drills and try to get that contract. So I gotta go thumbs down on that one as well. Okay, so C. Rush, let's go back to you on this one. So, as you know, Dwight Howard signed with Houston as of last night. And you can't officially sign on July 10th. So, he verbally committed to agree to sign with them last night. And you never know with him. But here's the thing. Kobe and Dwight Howard, they unfollowed each other on Twitter. Thumbs up if you think that's okay, or thumbs down if you think that's immature.
Thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
No,
I mean,
C-Rush,
oh,
my bad. That's you. That's you. Go ahead, see Rush. That's you. Go ahead.
Hey. Hey, if this is not, we are not seventh grade girls on Facebook. I mean, oh, you're not going to play with me. I'm going to defriend you. Who cares? Y'all a grown man. He's not playing there. So just get over it. I don't see the correlation to whereas, you know, he's a grown man who can make a decision on his own. Whether it be the right one or the wrong one, it's his decision to make. So because you did that, I ain't going to follow you no more. Who cares?
Yeah. Chris, let's go to you on this one. See, Rush said thumbs down. He thought it was immature. What you think about the situation?
Oh, I got to go the opposite way. Thumbs up. Man, how am I going to make sense of this? I would say that he should have followed him because why not? And I'm going to be more specific. I would say he should have unfollowed him because if he's going to agree to something that he's probably not even sure that he's going to agree to play into the media, then why be so phony or fake and say you're going to sign to a team when there's been other opportunities and it's been shown that you can do this too? So I don't know if that makes sense, but since I got to go to the opposite side, that's what I'm going to stick to.
I obviously going thumbs down. I thought that was real immature. You're not coming back. We put up a billboard, so I'm going to unfollow you on Twitter. Didn't make sense to me. This is not high school, but I actually read the mentions of Dwight Howard and the hatred and the swear words that went after him last night was unbelievable. So, I mean, take it easy on him, guys. I mean, he got free will. It is America, I thought. But anyway, let's get back into our questions. Another freestyle down. And see, Rush, we'll start with you on this one. Al Jefferson signed with the Charlotte Bobcats. And I think this one shocked everybody. I mean, usually you got to go to the Bobcats through draft or through trades. You don't see elite players saying, you know what? I want to go to the Bobcats. So what kind of impact is he going to have on the Bobcats, C-Rush?
Well, regardless of the impact, it's probably the best signing in Bobcat history. You know, other than that, I can't think of a player who they signed that was actually a household name, you know. But he you pair him up with Zeller. They got Gerald Henderson. They got Kid Gilchrist. They have Kemba. That's not a bad lineup. You know, Lord knows their bench will need help, and I don't know who's coaching them this year, but that's not a bad pickup for them. You know, it's showing a little growth. You know, they're able to get a free agent. You know, that's actually a milestone, you know, to get a high level free agent. You know, the Pistons were finally able to just do that today, I just found out. So, you know, it's coming around for them. But it's going to depend what Michael Jordan does as well. You know, you can't just be satisfied with getting one. Al Jefferson has been a great power forward in the NBA, and I hope they can just translate to Bobcats wins.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the CEO on this one. Hey, he down there in Charlotte, man. Y'all got billboards up at Al Jefferson. What's going on down there, Chris?
Man, look, let me tell you something right quick. Let me step into the basketball world. You know, my world is track and field. Al Jefferson. First of all, the Bobcats, number one, I'm glad they changing their mascot and logo back to the Hornets. Because what is a Bobcat? Two, one player is not going to make a whole bunch of change on a team. You're going to need a strong team in general. Three, the city and the team has to have a stronger camaraderie and a stronger liking for their fans. They need to have more interaction with their fans. So it's bigger than just the player, but since we're talking about him, I think he will add value, but the players and the team and the city has to buy into him, them, and the brand.
Yeah, here, I have two problems with this signing for Al Jefferson. Obviously, you know, go where you think is the right fit for you, but basketball-wise, you could have found a better fit. And I don't like the reason for the most is financially. All he had to do was wait to see where Dwight Howard signed, and all these teams that cleared space and all these teams that didn't get Dwight Howard would have thrown even more money at him, and he would have had a better chance to win.
because I'm pretty sure Mark Cuban at in Dallas would have signed him for sure for way more money than he had. So see, Rush, let me ask you this, just to be honest. I mean, did Michael Jordan wow this guy to sign with the Bobcats, or what? How did this deal come in place, in your opinion?
He must have gave him a lifetime supply of Jordans. I mean, I'm not totally sure as far as the allure of signing with the Bobcats, or maybe he has some ties from there. Maybe he's from the area. You know, it could be a lot of different reasons. I don't know what was said in the room between him and Michael. They do have a lot of young pieces there, even though the franchise has never won, except for the 1 year that Larry Brown was there. So he could have held out longer and he would have got paid somewhere else. But, you know, you never know. They could have just made an agreement and that been the end of it.
Right. Now, Chris, I want to ask you this, because for our listeners, he's actually in Charlotte. So I want to ask you this. In my opinion, Michael Jordan hasn't made really good deals, really good signings, really good draft picks. Now, do you guys talk about that down there, or do you guys just give him a pass because he's Michael Jordan?
That's a real good question. We have that conversation a lot. My friend Chris works for Gatorade, and, you know, I've connected us to Stefan, and we talk about the Bobcats a little bit, but not a lot, because I don't want to sound bad, but they're not really like – they're like a non-factor, because we haven't bought into the brand as a city, honestly.
Okay, so you guys don't even really – so you guys don't even discuss them because they're just bad.
We don't really talk about it too much. Unless we're sitting courtside because we got free tickets, that's about it. We don't really talk about the Bobcats.
Because we always wonder, because we see bad pick after bad pick by Michael Jordan. And, you know, we talk about Joe Dumars on this show a lot because we haven't agreed with some of the moves that he's made. And we just always wonder, does Michael Jordan get a pass because he's Michael Jordan? Because you don't hear many people talk about Michael Jordan being a bad GM. I mean, he drafted Kwame Brown. He just took Cody Zeller, and he wasn't even, you know, a top post player in the draft, and he took him first. So, I mean, you know, I just was curious if guys on Sports Talk Radio and, you know, Barbershop Talk, if these guys were killing Michael Jordan's decision that he was making.
Honestly, that's a good statement. Honestly, Jordan does what he wants to do, and people are going to like Jordan because of who he is. So whatever Jordan says, it goes. And in Charlotte, especially in sports, everything is real tight, real close-knit, and cliquish. I'd also add, how can the best player in the history of basketball not sign the best players to his team?
Yeah, well, I mean, see, this is what I tell people all the time as well. A lot of people think because you played, you can be a great coach, or if you played, you can evaluate talent. I think there's a lot of GMs that's played at a high level in NBA that has clearly shown they have no idea how to evaluate talent. They have no idea how to evaluate a player and say, I think his ceiling can be higher. You just don't see it. I mean, Larry Bird did a great job with the Pacers, and he's actually going back to them. He's done great, but, I mean, Joe Dumars and Michael Jordan, I don't think they've done well at all. See, Rush, you want to add something else to this or what?
Well, yeah, I mean, the people are blinded by the fact that he's, in our lifetime, probably the greatest player ever. And people in Detroit, we're getting over that 04 championship. That was almost 10 years ago, so people are getting restless, you know, especially with this past draft. Obviously, from the last podcast, people know how people's true feelings came out, so... You know, right. And I can, and like the CEO said, you know, if they're not paying attention to the team down there, that's a terrible thing, because it's no excitement there. How can I be excited for them if it's no excitement within the pulse of the city, apparently? So,
right. No, I agree. Well, you know, I'm glad we got somebody from Charlotte on to, you know, dig a little deep into that situation. But, we're going to move forward to our final topic of the day, and it's simply about Dwight Howard. So we'll start with you on this one. We'll start with the CEO on this one, and we'll get right to it. What kind of impact do you think Dwight Howard will have on the Houston Rockets?
I personally haven't followed the Houston Rockets. I really follow and pay attention to the Lakers. So that's my statement on that one. I think that he will be. Let me answer that. I actually do think he will be an impact player on the Houston Rockets team because of his stature, because of his caliber. But I haven't really paid too much attention to the Houston Rockets themselves, the team.
Yeah, well, we'll go to see Rush on this one. Obviously, they got James Harden, they got Parsons. Their starting center came out yesterday and said he really doesn't want to play with Dwight Howard. So, see, Rush, you know, I'll get right to you on this one. I mean, what kind of impact will he have?
He's going to have a great impact on that team. It makes them light years better because he's going to a place where he wants to be. And from the past, you can tell he's like, maybe. Now, within his free will, he's able to go somewhere, and hopefully we see the player that we've seen years ago just come alive, just a double-double machine, you know. And his game is going to play well off of James Harden. You know, you got a couple shooters out there in Chandler Parsons, you know, so they're going to be okay. And the backup center, Omar, he said he doesn't want to be there. Well, that's another trade chip for that team. Maybe they can ship him along with Jeremy Lin, who they've been talking about trading, and get some more pieces there. So you never know. The sky's the limit for them because he's only 28, 29 years old. So it's not this is going to be a powerful swing ship in the West, I believe, because you got to look at it. On paper, the Lakers aren't a playoff team right now at all. So people want to kill him for not signing with a team who may not make the playoffs to signing with a team with some young future. So I'm a fan for it, and I just can't wait to see what else they bring in.
Yeah, I really like this move, and the reason why is because all the other teams, Dallas and the Lakers, are promising what they can do for Dwight Howard next summer in free agency. That's what those teams are promising him. Houston Rockets are saying, we have the pieces right now. We can do this for you immediately. So, see, Rush, he picked his team. He picked his coach. No excuses. He's got to win now. So let me ask you this. Where do you rank them in the Western Conference? I mean, are they the best? Is Oklahoma City the best? Where do they rank, in your opinion, C. Rush, in the Western Conference?
On this day, I'm going to still say Oklahoma is the best, you know, barring Westbrook's injury. And then after that, I'm still going to have to go San Antonio because they proved what they can do. They're 5 seconds away from winning the championship. So they're in that next tier. You know, that tier with Houston and the Clippers, you know, those two teams I want to keep an eye on this year. If they bring in some more pieces, they can very well catapult some teams because we want to see what he does when he's comfortable. He hasn't been comfortable in 3 years. So I really want to see how he flourishes down there in Houston playing alongside James Harden.
Yeah, I'm going on record right now, and I agree. I think he's back to the 20 and 14 plus rebounds a game. I really do think he's back to that. I think they're going to get him the ball. I think they impressed him with their presentation on how they're going to feature him, how they're going to do the screen and roll. And James Harden is a very good passer that he doesn't get credit for. But I want to ask the CEO this question. And, Chris, I want to ask you this from a sports agency perspective. Now, he left $20 million on the table because he didn't sign with the Lakers. As an agent, do you say, hey, do the best fit for you? Or do you say, hey, man, we need to get that extra $20 million, man?
No, you want to make the best decision for the player because the player is not going to perform well if he's not comfortable where he's going.
Yeah, I agree, but a lot of people thought that he would go back to the Lakers just for that extra $20 million. But I also agree, if you watch the Lakers play this year, he was just not happy. He was out of sync. People were saying that, oh, he's overrated. He averaged 17 and 12, but he dominated in Orlando, and I think he will be back dominating again. I really do. So, yeah, we'll end it on that note there. C. Rush, thanks for joining us on this Saturday, man. Enjoy your Saturday in the D. What you got playing, man?
You know, I'm gonna go to the airport and wait on Josh Smith to come since he's a Piston now.
So he a Piston?
He a Piston now.
Oh, so yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm gonna go. wait for him.
I know T Will won't like it, but hey, we glad we got Josh Smith. Yes, sir. Glad to hear it. But yeah, Chris, thanks for coming on, the CEO. We glad to have you on, man. I hope you had a good time, man.
Yes, sir. I had a great time.
Yes, sir. Once again, the CEO, Chris Davis, joining us right here on the Wilson Rush Podcast. If you got any emails, send us an email, WilsonRushPodcast@gmail.com. We just started a Twitter last night. Send us a tweet. Follow us on Twitter. We'll tweet out our shows. We'll tweet out about sports. Follow us at simply Wilson Rush. Thanks for joining us. Once again, T. Will, have fun in the Poconos, and we out.
Hey. Can't stop, don't stop, shaky in the guns, cause we get down, baby, we get down. Girls, the girls, they love us. They love us, shit right first, I ain't shit right first.